everybody. Welcome to our show. I'm Liz.
And I'm Taylor. This is a podcast for and about the town we love.
And now we're talking Darien.
Hello and welcome. Today is March 29th, 2024. And we just got done with a conversation with Kim Swift and Laura Bremer, co-founders of Wave Strong, which is now a foundation and a club at the high school. A beautiful effort by these women and those who are also working with them on the board to address the needs of our teens' mental health.
Well, teens and our whole community's mental health.
Yeah.
In the last few years, Darien seems, not just Darien, I guess, though, as we all know, the nation has this, you know, mental health crisis has kind of spun out of COVID. And these guys have kind of taken it by the, I don't know, what's the expression?
Taking the bull by the horns.
Taking the bull by the horns after getting calls and calls of people looking to do stuff. So I'm not even on social media, but every time I go on, these guys have a new event with a different group in town. Right now, they're running a huge thing with our lacrosse programs. They do it with all different sports, and they're doing it in the arts. So you can't miss them. If you're all plugged in, you'll hear of Wave Strong. So we want to introduce them to you guys and let you hear from the horse's mouth what they are really about.
And why they're doing it. Yeah, if you've driven into the high school lately, they just named the oval or the driveway around the oval at the high school Wave Strong Way, and the sign looks really, really cool.
Yeah, that's right. So that's these guys are behind that. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode.
Kim, Laura, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having us. Thank you.
Taylor always starts that way, by the way. Thank you so much. I feel like you're very appreciative for all our guests.
I am. I am. Anyone who's willing to do this with us and sit in this warm room and, you know.
I love this room.
It's great. But no, you guys really, I can't thank you enough. This is a great conversation I've been excited to have. Tell us about how this got started and why.
So WaveStrong started.
And this is Laura, by the way, because people don't know.
Do you want me to say that?
Sure. Say I'm Laura.
Okay. This is Laura. No. So WaveStrong started really as a grassroots effort. It really came to be after the spring of 22, where the town suffered several sudden deaths by suicide. And two of those were student deaths at Darien High School. So coming out of that, obviously, you know, I have three kids. At the time, I had two at the high school. One had already graduated. There was a real desire to do something, but no one knew what to do, right?
Sure.
We had never experienced anything like that. So actually, it was summertime. So it was a few months later. We were getting ready for the new school year. And two moms in town reached out. They had boys on the football team, Lynn Wilson and Aaron Levine. And they had an idea. They wanted to create T-shirts that would raise money for suicide prevention, because September is National Suicide Prevention Month. And we love the idea, and WaveStrong was formed. I mean, you've probably seen these shirts around town. They say WaveStrong on the front, but more importantly, they carry very important messages on the back. So the original shirts carried three messages. On the top of the shirt, it said, "We've got your back," and "Speak to someone." And on the bottom, it said, "It's okay not to be okay." And that bottom message is so impactful, because when you would watch the football team play, who really embraced this message, that would hang underneath their jerseys. And I think the boys, in particular, really carried that message as something that was really important to them.
And Laura, like, I'm going to jump back to that too. You did a great job giving a quick, brief overview, but can I go back and set the stage a little bit? Maybe Kim, I've heard you talk about this a bit. Like, when these moms reached out to you in the summer, mm-hmm. that was after, I felt, Kim, you've explained this very well, that the kids kept talking about wanting to do something. Wasn't there a sense of kids feeling a little, am I putting words in your mouth or something? People were like lost, or there was a feeling like a weight, like that people wanted to help her.
What I think I was referencing when that was happening with the football team, my daughter was running the marathon, and I said all these kids were donating like $21, $21,
yes,
$40, okay. And then they would write things. And that, for me at least, showed how much they needed somebody to do something mm-hmm. or guide them on how to do something. They were just desperate for a path forward in a way that would help them. because so many of them are still out there struggling. And it was a really profound thing for me to see. And everything kind of just happened at the same time.
Yeah, and I think with regards to the shirts piece, just to wrap that, I mean, we sold 800 of them, right? And all those proceeds benefited the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, the Connecticut chapter. So those funds stay here in Connecticut. And the response around sort of this sense of when I wear this shirt, I'm carrying a really important message was the feeling we were getting from the kids when they would wear them. And it also said, this gave us a minute to open up the dialogue, right? We were able to start talking about something that was very difficult and provide a platform to be able to have a conversation. And that formula has really been grounding WaveStrong since the beginning, which is, you know, we are not mental health professionals. We don't pretend to be. There are lots of people in this town that are supporting this issue from a mental health standpoint. We think our role really is to break down the stigmas around mental health. Prior to the spring of 22, nobody was talking about this, right? It was something that you kept to yourself, you kept to your family, because you were afraid that people would either judge you or there was a stigma associated with it. And now we really spend a lot of our effort and our energy doing things that allow us to break that stigma down and open up the dialogue, because the dialogue is needed and a lot of people want to have it.
So if I would like to recap, WaveStrong is not a journey to, I would say not to promote mental health. What you are doing is you are promoting mental health. You're promoting conversation and togetherness. Is that what it is? Like, I'm trying to summarize it in my own words, which Taylor, you're probably much better in this.
I think, you know, when we did our series of, you know, teen mental health podcast in the fall, you know, I think what
that
we
was last September, by the way, too. Did we daring?
Yeah. And I think there, I remember hearing, you know, that the kids felt, you know, a little bit lost and did need to talk about it, but there was no organized way to do that. And I think it's great that you guys have provided a group.
That was the sense I was getting at. Thank you. That there was, if you listen to this podcast, people are like, you know, it might be a beautiful spring day, but like there was a period where there's a weight in Darien, and people like all of a sudden, there was a fine point was put on the fact that kids needed to speak, adults needed to speak. I'm trying to like take us all back to what that intangible feeling was like at the time of needing an outlet, and people were looking for it in all sorts of possible ways. So this setup, these shirts and
The number of kids that showed up at the churches and needed that support. So I'd like actually to touch on that point, hopefully not too soon in this conversation, but like how the club has formed and given the kids a sense of, you know, togetherness and identity and a place to, how does that work, you know?
The kids, anyone that wants to start a club at Darien High School has to go through a formal process. They fill out an application. They have to find an advisor to do that. And we had a couple of students in particular who have been, you know, volunteering all along in terms of either bringing ideas for WaveStrong or participating in WaveStrong ideas. And they really got the ball rolling at the high school and got the club approved. So the club has two amazing advisors. They had more signups for the WaveStrong club than any other club during that club fair day. And they've really just started working on, you know, what their plans are for the school.
But it's totally separate from WaveStrong in this.
It's totally separate. It's not funded by the foundation. It's not part of the foundation. We do have a couple of kids who are part of the club who are on our board. So they act as a liaison. And any activity that's happening within the school, the club will run with, because it just makes more sense for the kids who are there to do that.
Yeah. I mean, I want to say, first of all, the name WaveStrong is brilliant. I mean, obviously, we've heard Boston Strong. We've heard a lot of others. But it was, I think people probably latched onto that because everyone needs to feel strong, and it's a sense of community that brings Darien together. And I love that it's, you know, it is, we're like struggling to define exactly what it is, because it's doing so much and providing the sense of community that we need. So I love that it started with the t-shirts. I love that the football team was involved, especially, you know, we'll talk about the men's issues with this. But the club is a part of this and a really important part of this effort that you guys have put together. And I love, you know, that gives them a place to feel like they belong. Like, do we know what kind of activities they're thinking of?
Well, one of the recent activities that we did with the club, so this was maybe we could call a hybrid effort, was around Kindness Week back in February. WaveStrong.
Is Kindness Week a national thing? Is that a thing?
Kindness Day is a national thing. I think it's a district thing. Most of the schools activate some type of activity around Kindness Week in February and for the past couple of years.
Just for some comedic relief here, though, I feel like there's a day for everything. I mean, the other day there was like a large cookie day. I was like, that's a thing? Like, yeah. Really? Is this what's become?
Yeah, but I'm glad there is a Kindness Week
I appreciate the Kindness Week. The large cookie thing, yeah. It was too far.
Okay. Unless you really want a cookie.
True. That's true. I always want a cookie.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, somebody from Tokenique School reached out to us back in the fall and said, hey, we'd love for Wave Strong to partner with us for Kindness Week. And we thought, great, because we kept on hearing, it's amazing what you're doing at the high school. We were saturating the high school. All the high school kids knew what Wave Strong was. But once you got out of the high school, middle school, elementary school, no one really knew what Wave Strong was. Maybe they heard about it, but they really didn't know what it was about. And we do want to have that conversation with younger families, with younger kids. We think it's really important to open up the dialogue there too. So we agreed to partner, and we then reached out to all the other elementary schools to say, what are you guys up to? Maybe we can find a way to...
That's okay.
It's okay.
You're so cute.
I did the Italian hand thing. how can we bring it all together? So we ended up partnering with Holmes, Royal, and Tokenique School for Kindness Week. And we created all these signs, and we did kindness takeovers at all of the schools. But the most important part of Kindness Week was we were able to take the high school students, most of them were Wave Strong members, to the elementary schools for after-school kids care activities where they would talk about why kindness was important. And they also created an amazing video all about kindness. And basically it was three prompts, which was, you know, why is kindness important? How do you show kindness? And what do you wish you knew in elementary school that you know now? And we had kids from all over the school. You know, we had some athletes. We had kids from the art department. We had Post 53, Theater 308. So the hope was if you were a young kid, you know, sitting in an elementary school, that one of those kids would speak to you.
I wish they had gone into every classroom and had to go through the Kids Care Club.
No, it actually, Alicia Dad, who is the mental health director at the high school, she actually sent the video to all of the principals at all of the elementary schools to show in morning meeting.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
And the video was fantastic. These kids were not scripted. It was very genuine. And, you know, we're finding that the big kid, little kid combination.
That's huge.
Oh, it's so powerful.
Is really, really powerful. And that's how we see hybrid moments with the club and the foundation.
I think it's great.
Yeah, my kids are in Henley. And the best stories they have when they come home, they're most excited, is when the high school kids come into the school or do something. So like, I don't hear about anything. There's all these cool like artists come and authors. And the one thing they remember and come home to me is when a high school kid talks to me. So they told me about the video. I was like, oh, that's right. Wave Strong was today. I mean, Kindness Week. Yeah. So it resonates, guys.
They're like celebrities.
So let's put time. I feel like we bounced all over the place. So let's start with like a little bit of a timeline.
You got excited about the club. So.
I know. Sorry, it's my fault. But I think,
by the way, about the club, I will say it's amazing. Just to wrap that part up. We keep talking with organizations, all these fantastic kids involvement organizations. I mean, we just had DAF Media in a full media production for young kids. There's, you know, Post 53. I think the Depot is pretty much kid run programs. I mean, I'm amazed, by the way, about Darian, the more we do this podcast, all these kid run programs.
Yeah, so awesome. You know, what's interesting about Wave Strong though, and the club is, you know, we just started from scratch, and even at the beginning, before the club was even formed, we were getting a lot of support and ideas from the kids. I mean, the whole food fair partnership was born from some posties just calling me out of the blue, can we meet with you? We have this idea. And they did this partnership at the food fair. All their shirts had Wave Strong on them. They gave us a table. And we just keep getting so many ideas from them. And it's beyond impressive, and it's so genuine.
Yeah.
And again, the kids are just saying, let's move forward together. We're all stronger together. That's our big mantra. Mm-hmm. And they're a big part of this. We get our support from them, which you would think we would be the one supporting that. That didn't make any sense.
No, I'm with you. That you feel like you would be the ones bringing you. You're
when it gets hard, you know, this is not easy work. And when it gets really hard for us sometimes, you know, a kid will just send us a text or say, I have this idea. And we look at each other and say, okay, here we go.
You're reminded what you're doing it, right?
Yep.
I just don't want to lose this timeline thing. So you started with the t-shirts and the football team.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said that just the other day, you got your like tax status and whatever. So now you're a foundation. You've got the club. Like, how did this all roll out? What was the timeline and where are you now? Where are you going?
I don't know why I found that funny.
We had a lot of little moments. We've had some large moments. We've had a bunch of smaller moments. And I find that when, like, we did the whole football thing, we did little things throughout the fall, and then we had a lull, and we thought, has everyone moved on?
Are we done?
Or is it just, you know, us that are thinking we have so much more to do? And then lo and behold, a woman from the basketball team called and said, we want to do a basketball game, a Wave Strong basketball game. Jen Erdlin took the reins and was able to move mountains in the school to get some things done. You can talk more about that, but
yeah, the kids wanted to create a Wave Strong game. So the girls and the boys varsity basketball teams were both playing New Canaan at home back to back, which is almost like it never happens, right? That the schedules line up that way. And whenever we play New Canaan, it always gets good attendance, right? And so they mobilized and did a bake sale. They all wore Wave Strong merch, so socks with Wave Strong. The girls wore ribbons in their hair that were the colors of suicide prevention.
What are the colors?
Purple and aqua. And then the week leading up to the game, they created these flyers, these Wave Strong flyers, and they went around town and they posted these flyers in businesses all over. Can we put the sign up? We want people to come to our game. It's a community game. It's raising money for suicide prevention.
Good for them.
And they got some, I mean, very few businesses said no. I think most of the places they went into happily put the signs up. The game was really well attended, and they got up and all spoke about why this was important. So the seniors, girls, and boys stood up at the beginning of that game and talked about why they were dedicating this game to mental health awareness. And they wanted that platform, right?
Holy cow, I got chills with that. I can't believe to have the courage as a senior in a large audience.
Yeah.
And what's the call to action? What did they want from the audience?
They wanted the audience to participate in the fundraiser, right? So first of all, there were ticket sales that were being donated. There was a bake sale outside.
To go to the state level suicide prevention.
At the time, everything was going to the AFSP. Yeah. Okay. And so I think that was important to them. But I think what was really important to them was being able to talk about this, right? Again, it's back to this wanting to have a forum to open up this dialogue. You know, this generation is going to be the generation, I hope, that makes progress because they want to talk about this. Where generations before didn't.
Let's put some metrics around that. Do you mind sharing with us like some statistics?
You're so good. Taylor's so organized. I love that. I would have gone off on a tangent. I have so many other things I'm going to ask you, but good job, Jen. We got to stay focused here.
Well, we want to establish the problem. What are we dealing with?
So the problem is big, and the problem is not a Darien problem, right? I think it's really important to establish that the statistics that we see here are reflective of what we see across the country.
Yep.
So the recent data says that suicide was the second leading cause of death among individuals between the ages of 10 and 14 and 25 and 34, and the third leading cause of death among individuals between the ages of 15 and 24.
Holy cow, that alone. Like, I need to sit with that for a second. That's crazy.
What was number one? Do we know?
I want to say it's like gun car violence. Accidents or is it gun violence? Yeah.
Oof.
So that's the national picture. You probably know or have heard that Thriving Youth in town did a survey back in the fall.
We covered that a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Really dig into what are we looking at here, right? So what are the metrics that we need to address? And, you know, I would say that the numbers are terrifying, at least for me.
So wait, and this is the recap for that, because many people might have not heard that podcast. So Thriving Youth, they survey every high school student, or
middle school too.
Middle school and high school, cross section of kids, both public and private. I don't have the number of kids that they surveyed. And this is a survey they've done before, right? So the recent data says that 1 in 4 high schoolers and 1 in 5 middle schoolers
in our community,
in our town, have reported persistent sadness and hopelessness in the past year. So if you do quick math, that's about 500 kids. More than 1 in 4 high schoolers, 1 in 5 middle schoolers reported persistent anxiety in the past year, with 11th grade having the highest rate at 36%. Again, that's about 500 kids.
11th grade. I'm trying to think, associate that with maybe college at that point.
Yeah,
maybe.
I mean, the juniors, it's their hardest year academically. They're taking standardized tests. They're thinking, am I going to college? Am I not going to college?
Okay, all right.
And then, you know, when you really dig into, you know, 388 teens said they felt so sad and hopeless every day for 2 weeks or more that they stopped doing their usual activities. And 163 teens said they had seriously considered suicide, with many of them actually making a plan.
That's the terrifying part. I mean, I can't, you know, when they stop doing their daily activities, you know, I've sometimes wondered, you know, where does the parent step in and say, like, I'm sorry, I know we all have bad days. You're sad. You need to go to school or to practice or to whatever you're doing. But the statistics around, you know, making a plan for suicide, that's hard to hear.
That is hard to hear. It's funny. It's interesting though, to me, it's like relatable also, like as an adult, like, I mean, we all go through these tough times too as adults. And like, I mean, there are days that I like feel like just awfulness. I don't want to do it. And so I can relate to that as a kid, when you're like hormones and like you're growing and all the more, and not knowing that that's not a normal, but like in a way it is normal to have that up and down, that flow. And like the fact that you started a foundation that talks about that and kind of normalizes the ebbs and flows of life. For me, that's how I interpret it.
And that's the key. I mean, you have to be okay talking about it, because it's scary. But the more we talk about it and normalize it, I mean, mental health is just as important as physical health, but we won't talk about it because of all the stigmas.
Yeah. And I also think the point that you just made is really important, and really the reason why we want kids to know it's okay if you're not okay, right? Like, we will pound that message as long as we have to, because they don't have the perspective that we all do, that life gets hard sometimes, and you might have a really hard time, a really hard day, a really hard week, a really hard month, a really hard year, right? I mean, we've all had, you know, dips in our lives that seem like, how am I ever going to get through this? And then we do, and we know we've learned from it, and we are stronger for it.
Yeah, I feel like it needs to go one step farther. Like, it's okay not to be okay, but if you keep going, it will get better. And we are here to help you get better. And,
yes,
you know, there are resources, and it just, life tends to go that way. Like, guess what? This is not the end of the world. We all feel this way. Like, that's what I think is so valuable. It's what, I mean, I'm grateful for my parents saying that, you know, like, yeah, it might be hard, but it's going to get better. And you just hang in there, keep working, keep showing up, keep doing what you need to do, reach out, talk to someone, all of that.
And that's where the community comes in. The community piece is so important, whether it's your teacher, your coach, a neighbor. I mean, I will say, in the past, when I was, you know, maybe worried about someone's child, I'd be afraid to pick up the phone just to check in. Well, you know, they might be offended, or now I do it all the time.
Oh, I mean, interesting.
And if they do, because you just want to make sure everyone you care about is okay, or not care about. If I don't know somebody, you know, reach in, let somebody know. That's where coaches come into play, teachers, neighbors. It's a community effort.
Mm-hmm. You also don't know what your kids or someone else get show you versus what they show at home, right?
Exactly.
Like, it's a different perspective that is valuable. I would definitely want to hear if, you know, my kid's teacher or friend was seeing something that I wasn't seeing at home. And maybe there's a reason for that.
Right.
You know, I can see my kids being like, Mom doesn't like it when I'm upset, so I'll be happy when I'm at home.
Exactly. To the Connecticut Insider, I just got an alert on my phone today. There's an article that some suicide attempts between 2021 and 2023 were 5 to 9 year olds.
Oh, really?
Oh, so that was just in the paper today. I sent it to you.
That is, that's great. Well, I like what you said about the message. Like, I like the it's okay not to be okay. Right. I love that. Okay, because that's life. But I love the second step of the action of, like,
because it can't be a static, accepted thing.
And so, you have to move forward. And how do us adults move forward? Just, you know, one day at a time, one step at a time, you know, like whatever your thing is. And we, when we covered mental health, we brought on the teens last fall, and then we brought, like, it was part of a series. We brought in some mental health experts and some clergy to talk about it. They had a good point that I hadn't thought of. Like, as adults, you have a larger lifespan, a time span to draw on. So when you have like a bad day or week, you can put it into your larger picture and of experience and time to know, like, it gets better. Between those, the combination, but the children lack the experience and they have the shorter lifespan. So for them, it's all encompassing. There's nothing to really say in response to that. It just was an interesting perspective.
I don't like the staticness of the statement. I think better to be more, you know, forward looking and growth minded, whatever that growth mindset, like, you know, it's okay. Yes, it is. It is. The stigma should not be there. It's okay to be depressed. It's okay to be upset about something or have a bad week, a month, a year. But guess what? There's a way to get out of this. And like the hopefulness that needs to come with it.
You know, I follow so many like positive affirmation sites and I get so many of them every day, and I send my kids a ton of them. They probably are like, oh, here she goes again.
You became your mom. Probably your mom probably did that to you, didn't she?
But there was one, I think I probably sent it to you, Kim. There was one that I loved that I sent to my kids. I sent to everybody probably, which was, it was literally like a little stick figure, and it was a stick figure with a straight line with a flag, and it said your plan. And then underneath it, it was the same stick figure and the same flag, but the straight line wasn't straight. It had all these dips that went up and down, and it said God's plan. Trust the plan. What I said to my kids was, you're going to hit bumps, right? Things are going to get dark and hard, and you're still going to get to where you're supposed to go.
Yeah, and believe it was all meant to be that way.
Correct.
And that you will be stronger. You look back and, you know, everyone grows through that. And those are the conversations I think that are so beneficial. And I hope that that's what's happening with the club. And
yeah, can we talk about some of the more of the events, some like the stuff that's moved? Is that okay?
Or did you absolutely?
Taylor's plan. Speaking of God's plan, there's Taylor's plan. Am I going off? Like,
stick to the plan, Liz.
Am I going off asking more about these events? Because we are talking about the hope. You're talking about the hope here. And I think the events you're running are the hopeful ones. I want to get to like the big dinner, but I don't think that's
the dinner.
Can I talk about that one? Or should we do Wave Strong Way? Or like what's next in the timeline that came about?
So the next thing that, after the basketball thing happened, actually the hockey team found out that same weekend that we were doing that. They were also playing New Canaan. So they did it as well.
Cool.
And from that idea, we thought, let's do a Wave Strong week in May, Mental Health Awareness Month in the spring. And we ended up getting 7 of the varsity teams to dedicate games to mental health awareness. And some of them did bake sales to raise money. Some of them just, you know, wore ribbons or socks or Wave Strong shirts. And they all got up there and talked about mental health at the beginning. So that formula of, it was mostly the seniors, you know, who had obviously lost a classmate. This was very personal and very important to them. And they all stood up in front of the crowds and talked about why mental health was important and why this message was important. And so we called that Wave Strong Week. And it was incredible to watch the teams just rally around the conversation.
That's really cool. They do have a platform and a big audience. That's great.
Yeah.
So that was spring of 23, right?
I was spring of 23. Then we ended the year with Wave Strong Way.
Yeah, we can talk about that. That's so cool. I just saw the sign the other day and it looks great. I mean, what a great idea. Whose idea was that?
I mean, Kim, tell us what the idea is. I think Taylor jumped at
it. Sorry, yeah, what is it? So the oval at the high school, you know, ironically, we were just talking about the oval and the turf through DAF Media and Darien Athletic Foundation. You know, it's a really neat part of the high school property. It's a half mile loop around 3 fields. And they just, I guess there was no name for that street because you can drive through it. And now it is called Wave Strong Way. And I can't believe that worked out so well. And you said it went really smoothly.
So we had a friend, Amy Ofinger, who has since moved from town. And one day she said, you know, there's no name of the oval. And she had done some research. She had called Public Works just to make sure that was actually the case. And she said, you should name it Wave Strong Way. And I kind of chuckled and Brilliant. Said, okay, that would never happen.
Totally.
Talk about moving a mountain.
Totally.
And we just called a couple of friends and supporters and asked them what they thought. And they just ran with it and thought it was a great idea.
And it wasn't just a random thought that morning that Amy had. The oval that spring had taken on a different meaning that we think was sort of the impetus of why it would make sense to name it Wave Strong Way and not just a random idea that we had one morning. And I don't know if you remember, there were about 100 blue hearts made out of solo cups around the oval fields in March.
In the chain link fence that goes around.
In the chain link fence. Yep. And a group of Wave Strong volunteers did that. And
well, I would call them the Blue Wave Fairies.
We did it in the dark of night. We descended upon Darien High School and did that. But the reason we did that was it was springtime and it was a year after, you know, the tragedies. And we wanted everybody in that building just to feel loved, right? We wanted them to know it was like a big hug that we were trying to put around those kids, those administrators, those teachers. And we never expected them to stay up as long as they did. I mean, they were up for about 3 months. And then another group painted positive messages on the pavement
later
in May. And the oval just took on a new meaning in spring. And it, you know, it gets a lot of traffic. A lot of people come through it. And to be kind of wrapped into all of that love and positivity, we wanted to keep going. And we thought if we could name the oval Wave Strong Way, it would be a reminder. First of all, an oval is like an infinity loop, right? And it's a reminder that we're stronger together and that everyone who comes through that area is loved.
I love it.
I can't believe you guys got it done. I
mean, it's fantastic.
We made a lot of phone calls. We asked a lot of questions and everyone was fully supportive.
We actually started with the town, thinking it was a town property. We met with Monica McNally. She said, actually, it's school property, so you need to go through, you know, Dr. Adley and the administration. So we did, and it had to be voted on by the Board of Ed. So that's kind of the process of how it went through, and it did, and it was unanimously voted in by the Board of Ed. So that was last year. It took us 9 months to make the signs, but
they're great.
And then you had the most recent event that I want to talk about is the dinner, right?
Yes.
The football dinner.
Like, yes.
Cause that I thought put way strong on a lot of people's
radar.
On radar. Thank you. I was like, not map.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, we were crazy enough to think we could pull that off in year one.
It was at the road race. We were driving home.
The Darien Road Race?
The Darien Road Race. And we had a great showing. And Laura's husband said something about, what about a new Canaan Strong? Like, we should try to get all the towns to do that. And
so this was like, September of 23?
Yep.
Okay.
And I'm a big football fan. And
22. This is September of 22. Oh, this 22. Is a year before.
Sorry. Okay.
And I'm a big football fan. I always kind of go to football. And I thought about the whole Army-Navy game, how you could have an Army-Navy game type of scenario where the two teams come together. And I keep saying to Laura, I'm going to have to bring her to an Army-Navy game one of these years, where they're all enemies on the football field, but brothers on the battlefield. And so it's kind of a similar message. You leave that field and you're brothers. Mm-hmm.
I love that. So we tabled it for the fall because there was no way we were going to be able to do that quickly. And we brought the idea over the summer to Andy Grant, who is the new Darien High School head football coach, and started having the conversation, you know, could we make this happen? Could we do something with
this
New
being
Canaan?
What? Okay.
Could we have an event, have a moment where we can bring our biggest rival together with us? To have a really important conversation, right? Because
at the Turkey Bowl, though.
Leading up to the Turkey Bowl. So the idea really was born out of the rivalry of these two teams, right? Darien and New Canaan have been playing each other for almost 100 years. They've never actually met off the field. This was the very first time.
I was amazed to hear that.
They came together off the field. So, you know, Andy Grant was really supportive of it. It's really in line with, you know, the mission he has for the team. And he called Lou Marinelli and started having the conversation with
the New Canaan coach, I guess?
With New Canaan,
okay.
Yeah. And at the same time, Tracy McAvoy, who is the president of Wavestrong, she started having conversations with David Genovese at Corbin District.
Mm-hmm.
He introduced us to Nate Checketts, who is the co-founder of Roan.
Yes.
Who also has a lot of initiatives around men's mental health. And it just kind of took on a life of its own. David and Nate both underwrote the cost of the event, so there's no barrier for these kids to come.
And it was held where?
And let's just be clear, like, you could have gone the route of like Wavestrong Week and just had them speak before the game or something, but you said no, it's got to be bigger than that.
It had to be bigger because it was Men's Mental Health Month in November. The statistics around men and mental health are even scarier than the general statistics. Men don't ask for help, right? They don't seek help, and they often suffer in silence. And we started calculating all of our statistics, and if you think about those numbers and you look at these two football teams, that's a lot of kids, right? That's a lot of kids who every day put on a brave face because they're supposed to be tough because everyone thinks football players are tough. And
I would be interested to know, of the 500 kids, how many are boys?
I don't know that we have the breakout of male-female, but I'm sure we could ask.
I bet it's skewed.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, you know, what we learned was that the New Canaan kids really wanted to have more information, more conversations around mental health. So this was something that was important to them. We brought these kids together. There were about 225 people in the room that day. And we had a real conversation about men's mental health and about, you know, helping to educate them about maybe how they were feeling, but also to look out for each other, right? To check in with each other. They're part of an amazing brotherhood and a community that should be leaning on each other. And they can, you know, kill each other on the field, but off the field, they're living, you know, identical lives, essentially, just divided by the merit.
So was it a dinner held where?
Lakota Oaks.
Neutral territory.
Norwalk.
Norwalk.
So it was it was a sit-down dinner. You had speakers.
We
talk
did.
Talk about the speakers.
We had a few speakers. Tracy McAvoy kicked us off.
Tracy's the one that lost her son 2 years ago. Is that right? So she got up and spoke in front of all these boys.
These boys are very important to her. She spoke. Mm-hmm. She had a wonderful message for them. Andy Grant and Lou Marinelli got up and spoke together. So the coaches got up and spoke to the kids. Nate Checketts came in his Mama Kelsey jersey. So he had a custom Darian New Canaan half and half jersey made that was hysterical. And he had the most incredible video created for these kids just for this night.
Tell us about it.
He reached out. He has a lot of connections in sports and the NFL in particular. And obviously it was football season. These are football players. And he got, 10 to 15 current and retired football players like Eli Manning, Steve Young, Russell Wilson, all record messages for these boys about why this conversation is so important, why taking care of themselves is so important, why taking care of each other is so important. And it was pretty powerful.
I hope that was, can it be shared with outside these walls? Like, that sounds like a really important message for all young boys.
It was incredible. And then Rob Thorson also spoke. He created the Shoulder Check Initiative.
Yeah, tell us about
that. It's part of the HT40 Foundation. Actually, we partner with Rob on a lot of things because our messages are very aligned. And he has, Shoulder Check is all about making kindness a contact sport. So if you check out what they're up to, they do a lot with hockey in particular. But he had everybody rise in the room and we all participated in the Shoulder Check. So we all
explain what that is,
made this promise and put our hands on each other's shoulders that we would promise to reach out to one another, to check in with one another, and make as much contact with one another as we can.
Right hand on your neighbor's left shoulder.
Yep.
Just,
and then,
how are you?
Okay. And then you say that, and then you say that.
Yeah. And so you had all these boys, some of them Darian, some of them New Canaan, reaching out, having their hands on each other's shoulders.
Beautiful.
And it's such a simple message that I think these boys really took away and now carry that with them, which was the whole mission.
That is so neat. I love that you did it, and I'm so grateful to Nate and to David for sponsoring that.
Thank you, guys. We could not have done that without them.
Is that going to be an annual thing?
We are hoping to do something like that in the fall. Potentially, we're working on that now.
I don't know if it'll be football again. We haven't had the conversation yet with the teams, but there are some plans to really focus on youth sports a little bit more next year, because the
well, it's yeah, easier
middle
to
school is still youth sports.
It's easier to it's not easy to for us to go in a school and talk. They're going to have their own.
Yeah, there's all sorts of
so youth. Sports is easy because and it started with Darien Youth Lacrosse. We met with the director and he was 100% in for this initiative we're doing now in the spring, which we can talk about in a second. But he said, you know, I want to get every youth program together and maybe do a presentation like what we did for the football team to all the youth sports coaches, parents, kids. So we're working on that now.
Yeah, I mean, middle school, you know, is that kind of weird in between where, yeah, it's relevant to the middle schoolers. Youth sports, though, goes down to like first grade. So it's a completely different message than you need to give a seventh or eighth grader.
Yeah, and we did that. We just started last week with the Girls House program, and we had a different presentation, if you will, for the younger ones than the older ones. But we had, again, the varsity team come in and talk to the younger girls and then the older girls, and the message was different, but it was so well received, and we're working to roll out the rest of the lacrosse program this spring. And it's they've been very grateful for us to come in there. And you know, at first maybe there was a little bit of like, okay, what are we going to talk about, this is scary, but it's all about kindness. And you know, when you're a great teammate but being supportive, you're just going to be a stronger team. And that's everything we talk about. You're just going to be a stronger community, a stronger team, a stronger school, if everyone is kind of looking out for one another.
Definitely.
I love it. I was thinking we got to get this. I mean, you're not really allowed in the school, so maybe the kids club will do this more. But like to get some of the academic groups, like the mathletes, and I don't know if there's a math, but like talk about high stress. Those kids, like the pressure they put on themselves.
I think if you want to reach the middle school female population, you just park yourselves outside Sephora.
Oh my gosh. Or
you'll see most of them, I think.
So we are having the AFSP walk is at the end of the month, and the club is organizing that this year with the AFSP as well as the administration.
What walk is that? Tell us about it.
That's the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. They do campus walks all across the country. Mostly at universities and colleges, but there have been some high schools that have done campus walks. And Darien did its very first walk last year. So Darien High School did its first walk, and it was actually the eighth most successful walk in the country, which according to the AFSP is almost unheard of for a first year walk, and a high school has never had a turnout like we did.
Holy cow. What kind of numbers are we talking?
There were at least 300, maybe 400 people that came to the walk, but the walk itself raised about $30,000 for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention.
So when is it, and is it open to the community, or is it just students?
Nope, it's open to the community. It is April 28th, so it'll be in about a month.
Sunday morning.
You can, from where to where?
It's around the high school campus. So basically it takes the walk that the, you know, the cross country team.
The beautiful path that the Darien Athletic Foundation yes. executed for us.
Yes. And it's not very long. That's not the point of it, but, you can join a team or you can show up as an individual. A lot of the clubs and sports teams will rally their teams. In fact, my son's a football player. We just got the email the other day that they're going to walk as a team. So it's an important event to be there because it's really about the strength of community and supporting each other and continuing to have these conversations with each other and tapping into all the amazing resources. There will be tons of different organizations from around town there. That, you know, the community members can talk to and that was great.
Well, so all this stuff is on, you guys have a website or
we do
Instagram. I know you have an Instagram page, I believe.
We both. Yeah.
Okay. So where do people find out about like your events? And if people want to, they're listening and they want to like, you know, join the board or help out or volunteer.
Well, now,
or,
now we can donate too. Yeah. And let's talk about what you're doing with those funds.
Yes.
So your website though, that was a good
So
ask.
The website, wavestrong.org is the website.
Wavestrongfoundation.org.
No, it's wavestrong.org.
Why don't you look that up while we're doing this? Let's just make sure.
And all the information is there. Yes, you can donate. Yes, there's an area that you can fill out if you want to be a volunteer. We are trying to keep it updated with a lot of our events and the news and the things that we're doing. But the Instagram has like the most obviously up-to-date information on it. We post a lot of stuff on there.
I always do Wavestrong Foundation. I apologize.
Is it not? Is it Wavestrong?
Wavestrong.org.
It's good because Laura was very sure of herself.
Apologies.
No, don't worry about it.
But you can go buy merch. That's cool because I bet some people would love these. The shirts sound awesome.
Yeah.
And the last version of the shirts that we did actually was in a partnership with HT40 Foundation and Shoulder Check. So the front says Wavestrong, but the back carry the Shoulder Check messages. So reach out, check in, make contact.
What's HT40?
HT40 is the foundation that created Shoulder Check.
Oh, okay. Cool. All right. So you are fundraising now. You are set up as a foundation. Tell us what you're doing with the proceeds.
So the goal is, first of all, to have funds to be able to execute more and more community events and activities like we do, right? Up till now, we've been doing that on a shoestring budget, lots of self-funding happening, and that's not a sustainable model. So obviously, we want to be able to do more events like the football dinner. But we also have two other important parts of our mission. One of them is grants, and the other is scholarships. So we'd like to be able to give scholarships out to individuals who are looking to continue their education in terms of mental health education in particular.
And pursue a career in the field
because quite frankly, there are not enough mental health professionals for the need, right? I mean, there are a lot of people that wait a very long time to get help. And that is a barrier and that for a lot of people.
I mean, that should be 0 days.
Should be 0 days, but it's not. And the other barrier is it's very expensive. Yeah. Most of it is not covered by insurance. And so we never want anybody to be in a position where they cannot get help. This is a barrier for them because they can't afford it. Mm-hmm. And that will be the grant program that we will have as well, so that we will provide emergency funding to bridge that gap.
Okay. And so they would seek, if anyone is looking for assistance and needs help with funding, they could reach out to you through the website?
Yes.
Okay. That's fantastic. I mean, so I love that you're, you know, promoting new practitioners in the field mm-hmm. and helping support them and encourage them to pursue that. That's fantastic. And then you can help people who need financial assistance to get the help they need.
Yeah.
Those are two great reasons to have this foundation. Thank you.
And we do have a mental health provider on our board, and we partner with Sasco River, who has been super supportive. And so we work a lot with them on all those questions. How do we navigate these things? If we are about to do something, we run everything by them. So we have that as well.
You guys are the expert of partnerships. I mean, Palmer's, Nielsen's, Corbin District, Chamber of Commerce, Post 53, Houlihan Lawrence, every like different.
Well, a lot of them come to us.
They come to us because, again, it goes back to the beginning where nobody knew what to do. And we just kind of, you know, would talk about 50 times a day. We'd wake up in the morning and say, I have an idea. And every now and then we'd say, oh no.
So that quick
what
list.
This time. So, you know, we just started it. You know, it was nothing, you know, wonderful. How do I phrase this? It wasn't like we're two superstars that, you know,
had this great cut.
Well, Let me just start this over.
When no one knows what to do, did something. Thank you.
That was just, we had to, you know, I mean, it just was something that we had to do every day, every hour, as time went on, and we had to do something. And so now when people reach out to us, I think like they're in the shoes we were in, like someone just please do something because we don't know what to do. But we have to help, and we have to help the next person, the next child, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we talk a lot about the AFSP because they've been incredible partners for the past 2 years. And Michelle Peters, who is the director of the Connecticut chapter, I feel like I have her on speed dial, right? I mean, I call her and we run things by her because while we're trying to help, we would never want to risk doing damage, right? It's really important that everything we do has been looked at by somebody who knows more than we do, because we're not experts. And what she said to me, I actually spoke to her this week, was that the amazing thing about the Darien community is the response from all over the community. There's so many different groups and partners that are part of this conversation, and everybody plays an incredibly critical role, right? Not one is likely going to solve it, but if everybody comes together, I think we're going to be able to make progress. She said what she sees oftentimes when a community is shattered by a suicide is that the response is fast and it's powerful, but then it goes away.
Short-lived, yeah.
Usually within a couple of months, everybody's kind of gone back to the way things were and you move on.
And moving on is a part of the healing process.
100%.
But
yeah.
I think
we
want to
move on from a healing
holding
perspective.
Holding the door open is important.
But we also know based on the statistics that there's a lot more conversations and a lot more that has to be done.
Yeah,
and
well, to prevent the new ones from happening.
And she said that's what's so amazing about Darien is, you know, 2 years later, our foot is still on the gas. And she said she talks about us and our community when she goes to national meetings and people say, like, what's the formula? What's happening? And so, you know, I want to personally thank everybody in this town who has been making this a priority, because it's the collective effort that's making a difference.
That's awesome. And talk about the partners that you have in town and what roles they have played.
Well, Post 53 has been a partner from the beginning. Obviously, they're on the front lines of this crisis. So they had us come to the food fair last year. We're going to do the food fair again. And that's a great place for us to people to come up, to talk to us, to ask questions, to get information, to get resources. So I anticipate they will be a long-term partner of ours. The chamber has been great. And we have been able to do events where we go to speak and then their members reach out to us, Grebes, Palmer's, Nielsen's. They all did something in December where they had our bumper stickers in there by their cashiers. We got people asking questions. Nielsen's has all their bumper stickers on their delivery vans, as do the police.
Oh, I love that. Which, oh, the police do too?
Yep, the police do, which has been wonderful. So everyone is trying to do their part to get to the bottom of this crisis, to just, you know, just dig away at what we can do for this generation of kids and adults. And the AFSP walk is a great example, the one that is coming up. We have invited, or the high school has invited, the Ridgefield and New Canaan schools to come and participate as well.
Awesome.
Yeah. As we're wrapping up here, we are wrapping up. Let's wrap up. But let me say, Kim, you said something at the beginning, early on, and I want to give you both a chance to finish the thought. And you said, this is not easy work. And you stopped on that.
Yeah.
And so finish that sentence of both you guys. It's not easy work, but yet you continue to do it. And here we are, like you said, 2 years later, the resilience, the ongoing efforts. But why? What keeps inspiring you guys every day? What's the takeaway?
I think for me, I lost my cousin to suicide when I was in my 20s, and we were very close, and that was terribly difficult and traumatic. But as a mom, it's a lot different, and you look at things through a totally different lens. And I just care about every child in this community. That's why I do it. I don't want anyone to struggle. Every child out there is beautiful in their own way. And I just will do everything for the rest of my life to try to help them find happiness or find their path, find their passion, because they're all beautiful in different ways. And that's, you know, I wake up every morning with that purpose. And it's not easy, because it's hard to see your kids struggle with the loss of a friend. but I want to move forward, and it's so hard to articulate. I don't know, Laura, how would you
say it? I think you did a beautiful job.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think you said it. I think we do it because we hope in some way that the things that we're doing are reaching somebody who needs to be reached, right? And even if it's getting them to turn to a friend or to turn to a coach or turn to a parent and say, I need to talk to someone or I need some help, right? And if we can help prompt that dialogue, then it's worth every hour that we spend, you know, trying to come up with ways to keep igniting that conversation, right? I mean, we can only take it so far. We're not the professionals. We can't tell you what to do or how to deal with a situation. But if we can just prompt more people to acknowledge when help is needed, whether they need it or they see somebody else does, then...
And also realize that you've heard this a million times. You never know what someone else is going through. So, and your words matter. Kindness matters. A very simple word can mean the world to somebody. So if everyone did a little bit more of that, we will be in a much different position down the road.
Well, I think everyone wants to prevent the next one, right? I think that's a mutual goal in this community and in the world, right? No one wants to see this happen. So thank you for stepping up to the plate and doing something when no one else knew what to do, and living in that gray area where you didn't even know what to do, right? But you're like, I am willing to take the helm and figure this out. Thank you. I love that.
Well, we're grateful for your time and for having us and supporting us.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Have a great one.